MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting now with Nico Katzke, Head of Portfolio Solutions at Satrix. Nico, always appreciate the early morning talking around bubbles and whether we should worry. Interesting piece out from you. Let's start, I suppose, with definition of a bubble. I'm keen to head to sort of Greenspan's irrational exuberance comment. I think that was late 96. But, I mean, it is broadly, it's irrational pricing and FOMO. But truthfully, underlying it is often proper quality. And you know, we think of some of those dot-com stocks. Capitec was often accused of being a bubble, yet here we are today.
Morning, Simon, and good morning to your listeners. Great to speak to you again. Yeah, interesting topic, eh? And I think it's incredibly relevant to us all. You know, our view on AI and technology stocks more broadly has actually been quite consistent in recent years. We remain of the view that, to your point, based on traditional accounting measures, tech companies may look expensive now. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But we have to acknowledge the inadequacy of traditional accounting and asset pricing models in actually valuing technology companies whose book values often reflect immaterial things like IP, first mover benefits, network effects, and the list goes on, right? So to the casual observers, the problem is that when experts make statements to the effect of labeling companies or entire sectors as overvalued and clearly in bubble territory, it's not actually simply a matter of semantics. It directly affects investor behavior. You know, over the past few years, we've seen many advisors and investors choose to sit on the sidelines and avoid tech exposure completely. And, you know, tech-heavy sectors like the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, which has clearly not served their portfolio as well. And the question, I think, remains why people are actually so quick to dismiss new technologies in the first place.
That's actually a great point, because many of these bubbles, and to be clear, not necessarily always, but I mean, as I'm running through various bubbles in my head, they are usually about that new technology, which, to your point, oftentimes current accounting principles don't quite fit, truthfully, investor understanding. I mean, we throw around the term AI. We don't know what AI is going to look like in 10 years' time. We know it's going to be something, but exactly what? I mean, I don't know.
Absolutely. And I think it's maybe important to take a step back and just, you know, ask what it means when we say a bubble. I think it refers to periods, and then you mentioned it at the start, where investors are irrational in their valuation of assets, you know, where a buying frenzy leads others to participate too. And this causes, you know, further pushes up the price and causes a reinforced frenzy buyer's market. Oftentimes, what labels a bubble is this happens without due consideration of the actual investment case. Now, to your point, there's many examples of this in the past, but those are always only ever clear in hindsight. That's the irony, right? And in fact, there are equally many times where many cried wolf only to later regret not investing in the companies or technologies after their use cases has become clear. And that's not how you make money, you know, in the market. Johnny come lately is a poor man. The reality is that Mr. Market has in the past been remarkably efficient at pricing assets and predicting trends, offering actually very few instances of obvious opportunities to either buy or sell in hindsight. But I think fundamentally, if we just come back to it, when it comes to valuing assets, we always need to compare the price paid today to the future earnings potential of a company tomorrow. Now, whenever future earnings potential is uncertain, it complicates the analysis. You know, let's take a simple example. If Ford retailed at multiple times its projected earnings, you'd more easily conclude whether it's expensive or not, as its business model is actually quite well understood, right? It buys, builds and sells cars, meaning its scaling potential is physically limited.
Yeah.
But for companies building a technological framework whose end state is as of yet unknown, it becomes extremely complicated to actually do a fundamental analysis. And the best we can do, I believe, for now, is to be slower in concluding that prices paid today for companies, you know, at the forefront of technological development are not a fair reflection of how these companies will mature. Shouting bubbles based solely on historical comparisons for me seems like lazy analysis that needs a deeper clarification of where exactly the market is being irrational.
That's a great point. And I remember the early days of the internet, sort of early 2000s. And I remember the talk around watching a video on my phone. And I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But of course, I didn't imagine what the phone was going to become or what the speed or anything. And well, now that's how we spend many of our days. You also make a great point. And I take your point that banding around the word bubble in and of itself is not helpful. In fact, we can say it's actually a dishelp to investors. But also, I mean, the optimal number of bubbles you make in the article you wrote is not zero. We need this because this is around that technological advancement. This is how society moves forward in those big leaps.
Exactly. So, you know, I make the point, it might be controversial that, you know, bubbles generally get a bad rap.
Yeah.
Now, this may sound strange, right? But I really believe that the optimal amount of bubble and busts is not zero.
Yeah.
We actually need periods where the market loses its, let's call it, short-term sensibilities and relaxes its typical risk tolerance, you know, spurring the development of technologies and actually propel society forward. Internet, railways, etc., which at the time seemed expensive, irrational, but, you know, it's stuff we use every day. Now, look, I cannot foresee a world where we will become less reliant on generative assistance. And as we transition into this uncertain world, it seems in my mind most irrational to label the technology as a bubble. That's for me the most irrational thing currently. Now, will there be disappointments, Simon, in AI? Absolutely. Some companies will disappoint. But I believe ultimately that we are at an inflection point in how we utilize information technology more broadly. Now, will you and I still use ChatGPT in 5 years? Maybe, maybe not. How will we use it in our daily lives? You know, who knows? From our point of view, AI integration will likely be more gradual than many make it out to be. I don't think you're going to wake up one day and your wife and kids and job has been taken by AI. I think broad adoption will happen organically, the same way we began using email or the computer, or more recently become comfortable with Teams calls and working from home. You know, these things happen gradually. And dismissing the technology just because we deem the accounting measures to be out of whack with historical comparisons, I don't think is sensible. And another interesting point that I just want to quickly make, which I think a lot of listeners might not know, is as of today, you're getting actually more exposure to AI in the MSCI EM index than in both the NASDAQ and S&P 500. That's a great irony, right? So, and this is largely as a result of large exposures to TSMC and a few Korean stocks. But the point is, it's becoming harder to find suitable diversification for those looking to avoid tech exposure completely. And what we've seen is a lot of investors are sitting on the sidelines and wanting no equity exposure because they look in the short term and they want to avoid short-term pain, but ultimately pay away long-term opportunities to create wealth over the long term.
Yeah, and your EM example is great. I was buying some of the EM ETFs last year, and they've become tech. I mean, as you said, they are just tech. And we're early. My father got a fax machine in the 80s, and he couldn't fax anyone for the first 6 months because no one else had one. And then, I don't know, 5 years later, everyone had them. 20 years later, they were gone because of email. We'll leave it there. Nico Katzke, Head of Portfolio Solutions, Satrix. Appreciate the early morning time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.